The gospel reading today follows last week's experience where Jesus was in Jericho making his way to Jerusalem, where we find him today. And there seems to be a clear link between what we hear in the first reading, which was from Deuteronomy, and then what Jesus discusses with the scholar. If you can imagine, the scene is probably close to the temple where the sacrifices were performed. Kind of gives you a bird's eye view. Scholars were in charge of interpreting the laws. And you've heard this before, but the Jews had over 600 laws, and so it wasn't uncommon for them to debate which one summed up all the others. Most of the time, we see these religious authorities trying to trap Jesus. But maybe in this situation, that isn't the case. The scholar may have genuinely been asking for a rabbi's opinion. And Jesus' response to them is a teaching lesson, as it is to all of us who tend to stereotype certain groups. We can throw up our defenses and classify certain persons and groups, and then we smack labels on them. Maybe it's because of those past experiences we've had with that particular person or persons. But Jesus, he meets every individual where they are at that particular moment. And that's what we can take. It's about relationship first, rather than labels or our own prejudices. And his response is absolutely essential to our Christian message. It's a combination of what we heard in the first reading and then a passage from Leviticus. The fact that Jesus makes them one essential commandment is important. One without the other is missing something. And our journey through life may seem more like a to-do list, somewhat similar to the number of laws that Jewish people were asked to fulfill. But if that is our focus alone, then we set ourselves up for disappointment with ourselves and with others, while our image of God will be a demanding being looking over our shoulders to see when we screw up. The Shema prayer, which is, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one," was a pivotal thing for a Jew to pray each and every day, sometimes several times a day. And repeating this throughout the day was a good reminder of where everything comes from. Love God first, and all else falls into place. Now, isn't that about relationship? But how do I love God? With all that I am. Because that is how God loves me. That is first and foremost. And accepting that concept may not be easy for a variety of reasons in our life. Perhaps it's not been modeled to us, or just the fact that we are imperfect. We fall short of that love that we know that God truly is. Love means trusting God with everything and allowing whatever it is to happen. A total self-surrender is not easy, given our society and perhaps our own individual circumstances. It goes against what seems right. If you fulfill certain things, we may think, then God can love me, and then I might be worthy to give my life. But self, our own self, our ego should be denied. Sacrifices should be made. We should not be selfish, self-centered. It's not good being in church every hour of every day if I am not a loving person, if it's not about relationship. But we know that it's a journey, it's a process, one that requires much prayer and much grace. And then we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. To put it another way, for God's sake, we love others. No conditions. Not based on just the feelings of every one moment. We are to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. But that sounds very demanding. And sometimes it can actually be part of the problem. Many, if not most of us, don't love ourselves very much. We go to great lengths to hide our inadequacies, our weaknesses. We spend a lot of money on houses and cars and clothes and jewelry and cosmetics, dining out. Image is all. We need status symbols to prove that we are someone. We would like to look and sound very with it, but actually, we can tend to hide behind currently fashionable clothes, styles, language, being cool and hip. Very few people are really themselves in front of others. To put it honestly, we say, what you see is what you get. To put it another way, it can be, what you see is what there is. Now that requires self-acceptance, which isn't the same as self-approval. It's integrity, it's wholeness. Self-acceptance means that I fully acknowledge both my strengths and my weaknesses, and I'm not ashamed of them, and I don't mind if other people know them. Because such a person knows that the key to being loved is to have one's real self accessible to others. So let us pray that our brothers and sisters who are next to us here today will help us on that journey to live up to this. Love God first, and love one another, even ourselves.